Resolve to Stop the Meeting Madness by Laura Stack, the Productivity Pro. So around this time of year, everyone begins thinking about making resolutions and getting organized for greater productivity in the new year. And if I could pick a single goal for everyone, it would be revamping those time-sucking meetings. Meetings can eat up your entire day if you let them. Just like the Dilbert cartoon about the preliminary pre-meeting meetings. If you ever feel like you're stuck in that Dilbert cartoon and can't get anything effective done, try to take steps to resolve this meeting madness. Here are some things to keep in mind when you're dealing with time-stealing meetings. First, refuse face-to-face meetings when unnecessary. Determine if you really need to meet in person. How many times have you attended a meeting and asked yourself, why am I here? Hopefully by now you've started protecting your time from every person who wants a piece of it. If my clients want to meet in person, for example, I charge a consulting fee. For telephone calls, no charge. 90% of the time, a conference call will suffice. Extra travel time and expenses are involved when meeting in person, so avoid it unless dialogue and brainstorming are required. Do not accept a meeting invitation if the requester can't state in one sentence the exact reason you're meeting. For example, to inform our department of changes in the holiday pay policy. Very specific. To sell management on our division's plan to automate payroll processing. To brainstorm the best way to resolve the association's budget deficit. To determine realistic sales goals for each region for next year. Or discuss the critical skills required for successful performance as a first-level supervisor. These are all specific activities. Next, cancel meetings. Yes, cancel them. They can be important. They can allow for the exchange of ideas and play an important role in the dynamics of the workplace, but not all meetings have the same value. With a limited number of hours in the day, you need to pick and choose when a meeting is appropriate and when it isn't. Always think twice before calling a meeting. If you have the flexibility to choose, you should always decide, do I need to have an email? Would a simple phone call do? If you feel like a good deal of your day is wasted, consider the following. Is the meeting simply to exchange information? If so, an email might do the trick just as well and save everyone a lot of time. Is there travel involved? An elevator ride is one thing. Real travel is quite another. Whether the meeting will include attendees from across town or across the country, always stop and consider whether a conference call or a webinar meetup might be just as effective. I use gotomeeting.com, which I love. Sometimes the face-to-face is critical. Other times it just doesn't matter. So why waste time and pay the expense of travel? Think about what's your role. Maybe your place could be taken by an assistant who can take good notes. If there are decisions that need to be made, whoever's taking your place needs to be capable of filling in for you. Others will be annoyed if your absence turns into an inconvenience for them. If you do need to be there personally, find out what's exactly needed of you. If only one item in a two-hour agenda involves you, perhaps you can handle that matter first and then leave the meeting. Or ask what time to show. Spending half of your day in meetings waiting for your agenda item is a frustrating time waster. Next concept, limit attendees. More is not merrier. Think through who really needs to be there. Don't worry about hurting someone's feelings if they aren't included. If you simply want to keep a stakeholder or player in the loop, select them as optional instead of required. Always assume that higher-ups have much more profitable things to do than sit in your meeting. Think about how much people are paid and ask if your meeting is worth an hour of their pay, plus what they otherwise could have been doing if they weren't stuck in your meeting. Only invite people if they have a direct contribution to make to the meeting objective and the desired decisions would not be able to be made without them. If their presence is only required for 10 minutes, give them the first 10 minutes and then allow them to graciously depart. Next concept, multiply your hands. Have meeting requests and responses go to your delegate. If you have one, not to you. Don't wade through all the responses. That's why you have an assistant. In Outlook, if you go into your tools, your options, and your delegates tab, you can select to send meeting requests and responses only to my delegates, not me. Brilliant. Next, avoid meetings on Fridays. Now, many departments and teams decide as an informal policy to schedule meetings Monday through Thursday, if at all possible. Too many people try to take long weekends or duck out early, making scheduling and rescheduling a nightmare on Fridays. Plus, you'll end up with a lot of no-shows. I try to leave Fridays open for personal appointments. I find if I put a doctor's appointment in between business meetings, something always happens to derail one or the other. It's hard to get my mind switched between different realms in any case. So just try to avoid Fridays altogether for business meetings. Distribute your agenda early. Always send a request for an agenda and include yours in the text portion of the appointment or as an attachment. A basic agenda should include a statement of purpose, any logistical considerations, the decisions to be made, a list of the topics to be discussed in priority order, who's responsible for that item, and how long you're allotting for each one. Ask participants if they have any changes to the agenda items to let you know in advance of the meeting so you can make adjustments if necessary. Once you get into the meeting, follow the agenda diligently so you can ensure all points are covered, decisions are made, and the objective is achieved. Set your meeting's length yourself. Don't let your email scheduler or Outlook pick the length of your meeting. The default is 1 hour and usually in 15 or 30 minute increments. So that's how much time people normally schedule meetings. Instead, match the length of the meeting to the purpose. If you only need 40 minutes, schedule 40 minutes. If you've done an agenda and you've determined you'll only need that much, manually change the invitation and schedule for that. Why? Because if you don't, time will expand to fill the entire amount of time available. For example, 60 minutes. If you promise folks you'll be out of there quickly, people tend to work toward that goal. If there's slack time, more socializing will naturally occur and an hour will definitely get used. Some people try to build in buffer time. Don't cave to this habit. I purposefully, under schedule, announce the goal at the beginning of the meeting so everyone is actively moving forward and start on time so people know the meeting doesn't actually start 10 minutes after the start time. Use online scheduling for outside parties. According to an international research of online scheduler Doodle.com, professionals spend 5 hours a week setting up meetings alone. Doodle.com is an online polling tool to find a good day and time for participants to meet, especially helpful when they don't work at your company. I particularly like the Outlook plugin. It provides an online display of optional meeting times and allows all the participants to indicate their preferred times and have the organizer choose the final slot. Done. It's easy to see when everyone's open. There's no toggling between participants' calendar or if you have external people at the meeting, no inefficient email reply to all chains. Obtaining the availability of external parties is made effortless by online tools such as Doodle. Make scheduling very flexible regardless of what method each individual is using. Make it easy on yourself to find a time where everyone can meet. Allow enough breaks. Provide at least one break for every hour and 15 minutes max. I prefer 45 to 60 minutes, but let attendees know at the outset what to expect. If you just keep rambling on and they aren't sure when they're going to get a bio break, they'll just start getting up randomly and sneaking out. Clearly state at the beginning, we'll meet from now until 10 o'clock, and then we'll break until 10:10, etc. If you're meeting over a lunch hour, it's also common courtesy to provide food. Be considerate of those in other time zones. If you're in the Pacific time zone and some of your meeting participants are calling in from the Eastern time zone, a 2 o'clock meeting puts them into their departure time. Realize that people may have childcare commitments at the end of the day or an afternoon meeting or vice versa for early meetings on the West Coast can severely inconvenience folks and reduce the odds of their attending your meeting. strike a balance on scheduling. If you schedule a meeting too far out, you'll get a bunch of cancellations and requests to reschedule as you get closer, or you'll just get trumped by someone higher up. If you wait to schedule a meeting, however, until the last minute, it's hard to find a block of time when most people are readily available. So it's best to schedule a meeting 2 to 3 weeks in advance. Anything sooner or further off than that is fraught with scheduling challenges and conflicts. Immediately inform the meeting leader of conflicts. If you have a change in your calendar, but you don't want to rock the boat, you inconvenience more people the longer you wait. It takes effort to work schedules around appointments, so as soon as you know you can't attend the meeting, raise the flag. The chair can determine if they can make it without you or if the meeting should be moved. Confirm everything. I've often shown up for a meeting, but the other person forgot. You'd like to think all adults are responsible and will do what they say they'll do, but it's always better to dash off a quick email. Hey, looking forward to seeing you on this date, at this time, at this location. Let me know if something comes up. I don't make people confirm my confirmation. I just ask them to let me know if there's a change. Also, make sure you get directions and map it out well in advance of trying to run out the door. I look at my calendar for the next day before I leave work each day and make sure I'm ready to roll on everything. Confirm with attendees too when it's your meeting. Open the original meeting request, select actions, and then new message to attendees. Journal your meeting notes. Many people don't know how to use the journal feature in Outlook or even what it's for. If you've ever accidentally clicked it, you'll get a pop-up box that asks you, are you sure you want to turn on the journal? Most people click no. Next time, click yes. Open a new journal entry, select meeting in the type dropdown, type up your meeting notes, put in the day and the time of the meeting, and indicate in the contacts field who was at the meeting. Select a category for the meeting name or the project so that when you pull up a contact and click the activities tab, you'll be able to see all of your journal entries from every meeting you've ever had with that person. You can also pull up your journal entries by category to review meeting notes as far back as you like. Or give your notes to your assistant, have him type them up in the text field of the original meeting notice, save, and send a message to attendees under actions. Scheduling meetings. Ask yourself, do we really need all these people? Make sure you aren't inviting anyone who doesn't need a seat at the table. Not only does it make scheduling more difficult, but you either waste their time or bend over backwards to accommodate someone who isn't going to show up anyway. Can we keep people in the loop without inviting them? Some meetings are full of wallflowers who need to know what's going on, but don't necessarily need to contribute. Publish meeting minutes or distribute essential electronic information afterward and save time and shorten the attendee list. Take a look to see if some work areas are sending multiple representatives. By choosing a single designee from each area, you can make sure everyone is represented without having everyone in the room. And remember to always ask, do we need to meet at all? This is a question you need to ask at every meeting. Any meeting that doesn't have a clear objective should be on the chopping block. In conclusion, meetings are the bane of business productivity, but we couldn't do business without them. This is one of the central ironies of modern business, but there you have it. Email and a quick phone call can only do so much. Face-to-face or at least voice-to-voice phone contact for minutes or hours at a time is often, if not always, necessary to achieve the synergetic interactions that drive accomplishment. That doesn't change the fact, however, that it's amazingly frustrating to spend half your day in meetings and meeting preparations when you're trying to get things done. You see, to a corporate cog living for 5 p.m. on Friday, this might be productivity. But to the super competent among us, it's a potential intrusion on our productive time, requiring that we give up something else in order to make progress. After all, they're not making days any longer yet. We've all got 24 hours. So resolve to stop the meeting madness and boost your productivity. This has been Laura Stack, the Productivity Pro. You can visit me at theproductivitypro.com. Make it a productive day.